Welcome to the Sounds of Encouragement, the place for musicians and music teachers to find support and encouragement to help you stay motivated, creative, and moving forward in what you do best. I'm Melissa Slocum, your host and number one encourager. I currently live in the Atlanta, Georgia area and have my own thriving studio teaching piano to all ages in person and online. I also help other teachers use student goal-based learning and differentiated instruction to increase motivation in their students and increase retention rates in their studios. You can learn more at www.musiclessonpathways.com. Thank you for tuning in to Sounds of Encouragement. Don't forget to subscribe so you get notified of future episodes. Enjoy the following episode. Don't forget to keep listening at the end and be sure to check out all the links in the comments or show notes. As always, I'm here for you, so you can be there for those who need you the most. Reach out to me at soundofencouragement@gmail.com and let me know how I can better support and encourage you. Sarah Buckley has taught piano for over 20 years, including 5 years as a professor of piano and theory at the University of Missouri. She has a Bachelor of Music degree from the University of Western Ontario, a Master's in Music from the University of Missouri, and the ARCT from the Royal Conservatory of Music. She has an online course with Christopher Norton called Quick Win Improv, sharing his improvisation curriculum with piano teachers. You can find the course at www.quickwinimprov.com. In her spare time, you can find Sarah drinking coffee, having dance parties with her daughters, or hanging out with her puppy, Achilles. I hope you'll sit back and enjoy this conversation with Sarah Buckley and learn what has kept her encouraged, especially through 2020, and how music has been a very healing part not only of her career, but also of her entire life. Thank you for joining us for Sounds of Encouragement. Enjoy this episode. Welcome to the Sounds of Encouragement, and welcome to my guest, Sarah Buckley. Sarah, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
So, Sarah, one of the things that we do with Sounds of Encouragement is we kind of dig in a little bit to, what has encouraged you in the past and what things have influenced you. And so my first question for you today is, what people in your life have been encouraging to you, or has there been a moment or a person where their encouragement was a pivot point or helped you do something new or different?
I love this question, and I enjoyed thinking about it before today. So I have to say I've been extremely blessed. I have so many family members and mentors that have been encouraging along the way, like especially my parents and my husband. But when I thought about the pivot point, it would have been 2007, and I was in grad school, my first semester, and I was taking graduate research studies, which was basically like writing an extra thesis as part of the requirements.
Wow.
And the instructor, Dr. Buds, had such a reputation. A lot of people were afraid of him. He's very intimidating, but very, very smart and a great teacher. So I, of course, was intimidated. And at the time, I saw myself primarily as a pianist and a piano teacher, accompanist. You know, I was taking a collaborative piano degree and theory pedagogy. So okay. I saw myself in those roles, but that was about it. Those were things I'd excelled at. And that was all. So near the end of the semester, I'm also planning my wedding for over Christmas break and getting finals week together. And he has these famous take-home tests or take-home exams, right? The librarian hours, even the librarians at the university knew of Dr. Buds from the department. So anyways, I got a B. And so he calls me into his office, you know, because you're not even allowed to have more than one C in this grade, right? So big deal. So he calls me into his office and he puts his glasses down over his nose and he looks at me, Sarah, what could I have done for you to earn an A?
Oh, wow.
And I sat, stare, and I was still so intimidated. And I mean, he was several feet away, but I was still, you know, nervous. And I thought for a moment and I said, nothing. I mean, I just didn't prioritize this particular thing or follow the instructions exactly as I should have, right? I didn't leave him enough time. That was the biggest deal. I underestimated
Sure. Time.
But I found that to be a pivotal moment because I felt that he believed I could do better. Mm. And so when I realized that he did, I realized that I could. And in turn, I believed more from myself and I saw myself as more. So as that course went on, there was more like lecturing and things like that. And he would say, stand and deliver. And he would have a timer on and everything. And everybody again is very, you know, nervous. But because of that, I fell in love with public speaking and lecturing. And so that really changed the course of my career where, you know, before I was much more happy behind the scenes and teaching smaller groups and things like that. It really had an impact on the rest of my career.
Wow. It sounds like it. And what a great story, because it's that, you know, when someone sees something in you that you don't even recognize or that you don't even see, and when they point it out, you can now suddenly see it and manifest it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So has that helped you with your students in any way?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, as my academic career went on, I paid really close attention to how he taught so that I could emulate that. And so I found very high standards, but very clear communication and expectations, along with some grace. I mean, I don't intimidate the way he does, but yeah, absolutely.
Well, and I can attest to the fact that you don't intimidate, because actually how we first met was a few years ago. You were coaching and still, I think, are doing some coaching. And, you know, you were fabulous working with me, definitely not intimidating, but definitely a clear, positive communicator. And that's what I really loved about working with you as a coach one-on-one, and then just, you know, working with you just in different Facebook groups too, and seeing the comments and seeing your support and encouragement. It's why I wanted to interview you for this, because you are able to communicate in such a clear way and in such a supportive and positive way. And I think it's very hard. It's getting harder and harder to find that, not just in teaching, but kind of everywhere right now. So I appreciate the fact that you do communicate clearly and positively. So if that was a pivot point for you, and it kind of made you start to think about, well, maybe I could do public speaking, did you do anything with that right away, or did that kind of come later?
Well, yes, I would say the very next year, I changed it up a bit and taught sight singing and oral skills, which, uh-huh, you know, generally as a piano teaching assistant, you do group piano and things like that. So, you know, singing in front of a group was never something I was into, but I kind of jumped right into that, teaching sight singing and oral skills, and then teaching theory for non-majors. And then I was offered a job at the university on my graduation. So I felt like that was such a pivot point, because then I had the confidence to jump in on those things, even though they were scary.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed them so much. And then when the opportunity came, I was able to, you know, grab that. So that was fabulous. That was a big goal of mine. So it was great.
That is. Wow. What a great story. So sometimes we get encouragement from other people in our lives along the way. And sometimes the encouragement is actually more like their expectation instead of maybe encouragement. How do you discern between what is someone else's expectation of you and what's true encouragement? Because this is kind of a tough one for some people, me included.
Ooh, and that's another really great question. I'm sure I don't always get that right. And sometimes I think even my own expectations might not be exactly the right ones sometimes, if I'm honest. I feel like I've always had like a pretty strong inner guide toward where I wanted to be. Like I knew I wanted to be a musician and teacher really early on. I was 15 and I never like wavered. And later on in life, I was like, what? I never considered other things. So I think I've always had a pretty strong like inner feeling of direction. So there's that. And then I think the other thing is I'm always trying to filter decisions by my top priorities. And so, you know, once getting married and having a family, that shifted a lot of the way I made decisions and a lot of the way I worked even and timing and such like that. So I would say keeping my top priorities in view and making sure I'm doing a good job at everything I do commit to has really helped with making things clear, whether it's someone else's expectation or my own.
So have you had a situation where you've had to handle you know, saying no to someone else's idea of what they wanted you to do, or how did you handle that?
You mean professionally?
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly. Well, I think as an entrepreneur, it's kind of nice because you get to call your own shots. So, you know, I could just say, well, you know what, I'm not teaching Friday, Saturday, Sunday ever.
Right.
And even if families were looking for those, I'd say, no, the studio's not open. So those things, or even this morning, I was asked for a huge volunteer opportunity to, you know, write and record music for like 6 months or something. And I was like, oh, no, I can see if I know anybody else who might, you know. So often it's the thanks for thinking of me, but I don't have the bandwidth, you know.
Right.
And then if I happen to have a colleague who it would fit for, you know, that's also been so wonderful, is getting to know so many musicians globally and being able to refer and connect. That's always wonderful to see.
And have you been able to make actually more connections during the pandemic in 2020?
Maybe not too many new ones, but more, I'd say, strengthening those that I have. I've gotten a little bit closer to a local vocal teacher because my daughter signed up for vocal lessons virtually. So even though we live in the same town, and I mean, we knew each other a little bit before, we met, I think, in February. So we saw each other in person a few times.
Right.
But yeah, I think more so deepening and checking in on connections that I had previously.
So what has kept you positive and, you know, feeling a sense of hope and purpose in 2020?
I would say connecting with my family regularly. And that's been a big blessing that we've been able to slow down and then enjoy a lot of family time. And connecting, interestingly, I've connected virtually with friends and family that live farther away, which we could have connected previously, but we just didn't, you know? So a lot more like virtual coffees and things like that with people I could have before, just didn't, right? So that's been really nice, is just to deepen those connections and have those coffee dates to look forward to.
Yeah.
That's been nice. And then of course, you know, connecting with other musicians, hearing what they're working on, encouraging them, and then connecting with my own students. You know, even when they're virtual lessons, it's just such a bright light in our day.
It is. And, you know, I know that I want to spend a little time right here because there are a lot of music teachers who, you know, were forced into online lessons, who have hated almost every single moment of it, and who have struggled with sound issues, who have struggled with the technology, they've struggled with, you know, just keeping that connection going. How has that all been for you?
Oh, so the very first week when things got closed here, we were having March break. So I didn't have to teach that week. And I was pretty grateful for that because, to be honest, in all the piano teacher Facebook groups, I got to read what everybody was saying that week. And then the following week, I'm not sure if it was you, someone said, the first week is rough, but it will get better.
Yeah.
And we're like, you will be tired in a way you've never been tired before, but I promise it will get better. Was that you?
I don't know if it was me. I think a few of us were saying that. Yeah.
But I needed to read that because the computer audio on my ears was so grating. And, you know, I was really trying my best to just put on a happy face for my students and really connect. And, you know, I had done virtual lessons before, but not on that scale. You know, but again, being blessed that the technology wasn't too big of a problem. And my studio families were super supportive, like the parents helped the kids as needed and so on. So I would say I was pretty blessed with the experience being pretty great. But I did notice a new type of exhaustion with the technology. And that did kind of fade.
Yeah. And so then I would imagine that's where, you know, connecting with family, connecting with friends, connecting with other teachers was what helped you kind of through some of those moments.
Absolutely. And then I would say also like working really hard to care for myself every day, like making sure I was eating well and getting outside and still exercising. You know, I was really blessed. I have a great CrossFit coach and he lent out some of his equipment to everybody. So we're still doing Zoom classes and connecting that way. So that was, I mean, above and beyond and so helpful for my patients, right? So just sort of looking at every day as a balance really helped me stay hopeful and encouraged. And I think you'd mentioned, like, what would I say to teachers who are, you know, struggling or feeling lack of hope? And I would say, certainly take the time that you need to care for yourself, or to slow down and rest and give yourself grace. I certainly did that with myself this year, like giving myself some grace to not do everything, and to be very present in the things that I was doing. And I think that really helped.
And it's interesting because I think, you know, that word grace is so wonderful to use, because I did a lot of that too, where it wasn't so much about making progress during a lesson. It was just about being there and connecting. And, you know, okay, if we had a competition to get ready for, fine. But if the student really just needed, you know, to sit and do improv, we would sit and do improv.
Yes. Yes. Keeping things positive and meeting them where they are.
Yeah. And it's hard to do that when you're stressed and anxious yourself. And so I think, you know, you touch on what I'm hearing most people are talking about who have stayed positive through this and who've kind of gotten through things on a more positive than negative note. It's, pun intended, by the way. It's that the exercise, the self-care, the connection with family is what helps recharge us so that we can be there for our students. We can bring that connection, that positivity, bring that support then to the students that we work with, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And enjoying music ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard. I have, it's interesting because I've actually practiced more, not because I had the time, but I think that was my therapy, is I've played more piano in the last year than I ever did before. And I think that was part of it, was the self-care.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
On your gorgeous pianos.
Yeah. we're keeping the social distance going. I love this part where we talk about music. We're going to get to that in just a second, but I want to back up one and ask one question that wasn't on the list of questions that I provided earlier, but I think this is maybe true for a lot of people. We go through hard times. So whether that hard time has been, you know, 2020 and global pandemic, or whether you've gone through other very challenging, difficult times, you know, at other points in your life, how have you been able to not only get through those tough times, but then come out of those times with that positivity, with that sense of encouragement, with that sense of hope? You know, there's a lot of people who, you know, they're just done. And between pandemic and, you know, financial struggle that they're going through in their studios, you know, it's not just about hope. It's that they're just done. And I think some people are able to pivot and say, no, I'll move out of this. I'll be able to turn this around. And other people are not. And if you've been through some of those, you know, really difficult, stressful times, have you found something, some kind of way that has helped you make that change into something positive?
Certainly. That's a big question there.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's good. It's a good one, I think, for sure. And I think I certainly have been through some times in my life that have been very dark and longer than I expected. And I think some of the things that I learned were it's okay to feel the feels. It's okay to feel, you know, I suffered a miscarriage after announcing a pregnancy while I was working, and it was a really busy semester. And I felt very alone, and I wasn't alone. I just sure. felt that way.
Sure.
And everything just felt gray for several months.
Right.
And I started to wonder, like, is this just the new normal?
Yeah.
This was before COVID, but, you know, is everything just going to be gray now? You know? But what I learned through that time, you know, my husband was extremely supportive, and we both, you know, learned a lot more about a gratitude practice at that time. And a lot of gratitude came into clearer view for us at that time. But then, you know, I'm a Christian, so my relationship with God provided a lot of peace, you know, peace that passes understanding. There was another time when I was pregnant the following year when my water broke at 26 weeks. So, you know, it was, labor was imminent, maybe,
right?
And so that was another time where it was just a lot of prayer and family support. And that was one of those times where music was a lot of therapy for me. Mm. You know, I shared on Andrew Eel's blog the story about being at work, and a previous professor had been coaching me on Brahms, and he said, you know, there should be a warning on Brahms not to play till you're 30.
Oh yeah.
And I was 20 at the time. So then when I was 30 and going through this dark gray time, if you can believe it or not, I was playing the exact same Brahms sonata. I didn't even notice it at first. And then, you know, of course I'm just spending time in my office trying to keep it together and, playing it, and then remembered what he said. And I was like, oh my God, you know, and I could feel what Brahms was feeling.
Wow.
You know, every note I played, suddenly it was like, oh, I can make this work the way it's supposed to work that I couldn't do when I was, you know, 20, a lot more naive. But, so music definitely helped me process, I would say. And then of course, like support from family and friends, and it was a process. And I think also being okay that a pivot may not be fast, and that's not easy to take, wasn't the news I wanted.
Yes.
Also, I remember when that gray season ended and how the bright colors returned, and it was much better. So that's encouragement, maybe, is that it's okay if it's not there yet, or you don't have to pivot as fast as others. Everyone has their own time. But I think allowing the space to process and having someone to speak to that you trust who can support you.
Yeah. And I think I'm so glad you shared that. Thank you for sharing, because that's very personal and very hard, I think, to share. And I think a lot of people will resonate with your story and what you've been through. You know, I can certainly relate to, you know, a lot of what you were talking about. And I went through a 3-year period. And so a lot of people, you know, they wondered like, okay, 2020 is over. It's now January, 2021. And they want everything instantly to be better. And I can remember a 3-year stretch, you know, for my husband and I when, wow, it was just every possible bad thing that could have happened, you know, including miscarriage, including, you know, job loss, including like, you know, financial struggle, like everything bad that could have happened in both of our families and for us seemed to be happening. And it happened over a 3-year period. And we just, like you said, it's gray, it's dark, it's hard, and there's no quick fix. There's no quick way out. And, you know, I love that, you know, as musicians, as teachers, we're hopefully learning through part of this to reach out, to share, to say, we're not okay, you know, but we need this space, and we're going to help each other get through it so that our students can also get through it. And so that we can kind of pull ourselves together and be the adults and be the ones who can say to others, you know, especially our young people, you know, it really is going to be okay. We don't know when, we don't know how, but it really will be okay. It may take a while though. And in the meantime, we're going to stay together and get through it together. So thank you for sharing that. That was really a fabulous, I really appreciate your honesty in sharing that.
My pleasure. And I mean, like I said, I've been very blessed to be so well supported. So that's helped.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, speaking of like faith and, you know, you have some really great, I'm going to launch into your playlist here. We're not going to play all of every single song, but I'll play a clip of each one and then ask you to talk a little bit about each song. Now, this first one that you shared, this is your top 5 songs of encouragement. And this first one that I'm going to play is Michael Bublé's Everything. And you said this was played at your wedding.
Yes.
Okay. So let me share this. And then after I share this, then I'm going to let you talk about this a little bit on the other side. So, all right. Everything.
this song, and I sing along, 'cause you're my everything.
I wish I could play the entire thing, but I'm not going to, unfortunately. So talk a little bit about that song, why that is so positive and encouraging for you.
Well, it was our wedding song, like our first dance. But also, I think it was about 2 weeks after Andrew and I met that I think the album came out right around then. And so he got it and he was like, this will be our song. And I mean, we just started dating and he was like, this is our song. It was so adorable. But the words are, you know, so true. Right? We go through it all together and it's the two of us encouraging each other to be our best. And that was always a theme between the two of us. So.
Yeah. And what a message we need, I think, right now too. Wow. And when I played that song last night and then again this morning. And this morning, it was just such a breath of fresh air to hear that song again. It was just made me happy. So so it's funny because this next song is called Happy by Pharrell Williams. And I laughed out loud when I saw this on your playlist because this is on my playlist too.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's also, not only is it a dance party song for my kids and me, but usually like on the first day of school and the last day of school, I blast this when they wake up in the morning.
Nice.
They probably hate me for it, I'm sure. But let me play just a little bit here of Pharrell's Happy and then we'll talk about it.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. 'Cause I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth.
I could listen to that. You know, I could listen to the 10-hour version all day.
Right?
So what about that song? I mean, obviously it's a happy song. It's called Happy. What about that song makes it part of your top five?
Well, my mother-in-law played it a lot for my kids when it first came out. So it became just like a dance party thing. And so, yeah, it's just sort of if we need a mood booster or whatever, we put it on and dance around the kitchen. And I mean, it's kind of like, how can you listen to that and not feel at least a little better than you did before?
I know, right? Yeah. Anytime you need a boost. And there are a few songs like that that I feel like are on everybody's playlist. And that's definitely one of them that's on mine too. And have your kids seen the movie?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So here we are at the Brahms. So this is the Brahms Viola Sonata, Opus 120, number 2 in E flat. I love this particular recording that you linked up because this is Daniel Barenboim on piano, which he's a treasure, my favorite. And then viola is Pinchas Zukerman. And so we're going to listen here to just a tiny little portion, unfortunately, of the beginning of the second movement of the Brahms Viola Sonata. So let me share screen again, and we'll take a listen, and then we'll let you talk about this on the other side. It's coming. Have to stop it there. I don't want to, but I have to.
Right.
So talk about that sonata.
Well, that's the sonata that I mentioned earlier, but it was so fun to think through all these pieces. And for me, that was just like a piece of my collaborative piano history. Like, I love that passion of playing with another instrument and like learning other repertoire, but then also just like kind of trying to get into Brahms' head. Like, what was he thinking? And feeling all the emotions that were in there while I'm playing it. And then again, like that response when you're performing with another musician is just so amazing. And so I find that to be a big encouragement. And I would even share that after several months of online only lessons, my first student who came in, 7, and we're on my distanced pianos, right? And he's 7 and he's got these great instincts, right? So surprisingly, he's had lessons he started the month before we had to shut down. Wow. And so anyways, he comes in and I breathe and we play together on 2 different pianos. And like, that was so great, right? The fact that we could get that after a couple of months of, you know, online at that age is tough. But so whether it's a seasoned violist or a 7-year-old pianist, that energy that you can find together, I find that very encouraging.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think that's one of the things that, you know, not that we took for granted maybe before a global pandemic, but the collaboration of live music and just the energy that happens when you are playing music together live. It's different when you're online and it's different when you're listening to a recording in 1 year and playing along. It's still okay, but it's not the same. And the energy is different. And playing in front of a live audience too, if you're used to gigging or anything like that, it's just different. And I think, yeah, it's great to be able to come back together and play together.
Absolutely.
So can you walk us through a little bit of that Brahms? I have never played that. And I think I don't think I've even heard that since college. I don't think I've heard that sonata since college. And I've never played it. Can you walk us through a little bit? As I listened, and I did listen to the whole thing, by the way, it's 22 minutes. So at some point when you're listening to the whole thing, the link will be in the show notes or in the YouTube comments. Listen to the whole thing. It's incredible. And it is like sort of an emotional roller coaster as I was listening to it last night. And again, listening to portions of this morning to put together a clip. But can you walk us through some of the, some of the movements and some of what was happening or what you connected with?
No, to be honest, I mean, like, I've enjoyed listening to it, but I haven't like played it in great detail recently. Sure. Right. So I think as I played it, it was a lot of just sort of reflecting on, I don't know, I felt like a lot of longing in it, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Yeah. And maybe that was just my own like projection at the time. But then like that along with some bittersweet and then some sweetness, and you know what I mean? And it just sort of, like you said, a roller coaster. And so I think in some ways it's very raw, and maybe that's what appeals.
Yeah. You know, as I was listening last night, it was hard for me to actually pick out any kind of a clip because there are so many wonderful moments of back and forth between piano and viola. And there's so many beautiful moments of viola and so many beautiful moments of piano and so many beautiful, like, you know, ascending runs and descending runs and just these amazing passages. And, you know, it was very hard to choose. So I encourage everybody to go listen to the full 22 minutes of it, because it really is gorgeous. And I agree. There's that viola part really does have a pull of the heartstrings there. I think that longing is a good word for that there. Okay. So we're going to, keep going here. The next clip that we have, is our friend Shane Mickelson. So shout out to Shane. We'll have to tag him when this goes, when this posts up on YouTube and in the podcast. Shane is a very, very talented composer and does beautifully rich orchestrations. And this is Come Thou Fount. And in this recording, the pianist is John Schmidt. And do you know which orchestra this is?
Not offhand.
Okay, we'll have to have Shane maybe, but this is from the album. Let me share the screen and then we'll talk about this on the other side. Let me share here and we'll get the audio going. This is at the end, basically. Large swell at the end. to turn that off.
Right.
That is so beautiful. Talk to us about that.
Well, I just get like this feeling of peace when I hear it, but also the melody has a strong like memory association for me. Mm-hmm. Like it was a treat always to sit with my grandma in church because she had her own pew, you know, so sitting and singing that, because that just was sung a lot when I was a kid. Okay. So that melody association is there and that memory, and then that orchestration is so gorgeous. So all of that together is like peaceful and encouraging.
Ah, and so what other, walk us through some of the, I love that you have this memory of church with your grandmother. What were some of the other sounds and smells and sights that you had with that?
Oh, as a kid?
Yeah.
Like peppermints, and she would give me lipstick. So I would walk in and be like, what can I say with grandma, right? And then it would be like, she'd be like so happy to like give me peppermints and sneak me some lipstick that I could put on.
Oh, that is so fabulous. I love the, you know, the associations we have, because music is so powerful in and of itself, but then you add in, you know, some of the other, you know, the sense of smell and taste and touch, right? And wow, that's fabulous. What a great memory. And, you know, what I loved, by the way, about that recording, and again, this will be linked up in the show notes, that recording, the beginning of it, when you listen to the beginning, it's such a very simple piano part and such simple parts. And it just gradually grows and gradually swells. And eventually, you know, the strings all come in. There's a very thin string line in the very beginning that's really almost haunting. And then as it more and more instruments, the string section adds, and then we hear the brass, and then we hear the percussion. It really is just such a gorgeous arrangement. How can you not be uplifted, I think, by that, right?
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. Well, gosh, you know, taking us to church here, Sarah, the last piece on your playlist is Mahalia Jackson, her version of His Eye Is on the Sparrow. This is a little bit soft. I will try to keep the volume up. But this is such an amazing spiritual and such an amazing slow piece. Unfortunately, we can't, you know, play the whole thing of each song, but we'll listen to a little bit here. So again, let me share screen, and then we'll talk about this on the other side. And if it's not loud enough, let me know. I'll turn it up.
God is watching over you and me. I sing because my soul is a happy. I sing because I'm free.
Ah, I hate to stop all of these. Talk about this one.
Okay, well, this one connects with Dr. Buds, who I mentioned earlier.
Okay.
This was one of the pieces that he would play, you know, when you're walking into his class. And he recently passed, and several students shared, you know, their memories and how, like, the influence of things that he did with them. And so that this just has been on my mind these past few months, reflecting on that, of course.
Sure.
But then, you know, the message of the song is so uplifting. So I guess all of that together. And I mean, like, her voice.
Oh, I know. Incredible. Just incredible. And that's, I guess that was the other question I had about this. You know, this is a fabulous spiritual and I love gospel. And, you know, unfortunately in the little clip that I played, you didn't get to hear all the great gospel organs. So go listen to the whole thing because you'll hear just such great instrumentation in that one too. But what made you choose Mahalia Jackson? Is it because he played her version too?
Yeah, he was a huge fan of her and Elvis Gerald. And so we were listening to tons and tons of that.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Wow. What great exposure you had. So when you, thank you, by the way, for sharing your top five encouraging playlist. And again, if you are listening to this as a podcast, or if you're watching the replay, oh my goodness, go listen to the full version of every single one of those. You will be uplifted, or you will feel encouraged just from listening. I know I sure was. And what's cool is each song has its own version of encouragement and happiness and support. And just a really great way to start your day or to end your day. I wanted to circle back around before we end. I wanted to circle back around to one thing that you said earlier about gratitude. And I know for myself, I have kept at different times gratitude journals, or I'll do different things, you know, to either record somehow gratitude. What does that look like for you, you know, right now? Are you doing kind of a journal? Are you doing something else? How do you express gratitude, and how is that helping you now?
That's a great question. I think certainly in previous years, it's looked different than it has this year.
Yeah.
Probably some gratitude practice with my kids, just sort of asking them what they're grateful for, sharing what I'm grateful for with them. I have a friend that I connect with by text. And so sometimes it'll be like, we're doing the gratitude thing now. And then it's just a quick text, you know, so sometimes she'll send me something she's randomly grateful for. And then it'll be like, oh, that's what we're doing today. And then we send it back and forth. So I wouldn't say that it's as maybe diligent as it has been for me in past years, but it's certainly peppered throughout my day.
And I love the fact that you're sharing that with someone, you know, text messaging, because it was interesting when I did research about a month ago about joy, and did a podcast about joy last month. The one of the things that was fascinating to me that I learned is that, you know, it's great to keep a gratitude journal. It's great to write down what you're joyful for, or what you find joy around. But unless you actually share it with someone, you really don't get the same kind of benefit from that joy as you would if you were to actually verbally share it, or to share it in a conversation, or share those joys like with your family or with a church group or with a friend. And I thought, oh, how interesting, because I think that idea of, you know, keeping a gratitude journal got very popular for a long time. And certainly I did that too. But now, like you, I feel like I'm doing more sharing, like, you know, hey, with my kids, with my family, you know, with those in my extended family, hey, what's, you know, what's great about what's in your life right now? Tell me, you know, something wonderful that you experienced, or, you know, when did you have an opportunity to find joy today or this week or this month? And sharing that, even in the midst of some of the worst times where you feel, I think, hopeless, can also help encourage everyone who's involved in that conversation. So it's really interesting that you share that, because I think several of us are kind of coming to the same or similar conclusions about that idea of gratitude. That yeah, gratitude is great, and it helps us, you know, feel encouraged and thankful and have a different perspective, but it's even more powerful when we share it. And are you finding that too? Like, just, you know, not trying to pry into your marriage or anything, but are you finding that with your spouse too?
Certainly. And I mean, you sparked something, so I'm going to circle back to that question.
Go ahead.
But I find I also do it even more so with my students, and when we're online, you know, like, what was the best part of your holiday or last week or whatever? And then, you know, what were the pieces you loved the most over the fall? And then also sharing, like, oh, I'm surprised some of my students have really great communication skills. So really, I'm grateful for that when we're working online. Such an asset, right? Even when 8-year-olds can be so clear.
Yes.
So I think even modeling that and participating in it as part of my teaching, it also keeps the energy up while I'm teaching for everybody, which is great.
Yeah, because I think we have to take every small win we can find.
Yeah, for sure. And then as far as with Andrew, I mean, I think that's sort of a built-in for us as a, you know, sharing thank yous when we can, or just sort of appreciating what's going well as much as possible, you know?
Yeah. Good. Well, listen, this has been a wonderful chat. I so appreciate your time. I know we both have hugely busy schedules and lots of students and things going on, so I appreciate your time. Is there anything else you wanted to mention or talk about?
Not offhand. Just thank you so much for having me on. It's been so much fun and great to sort of take some time and think about those things. I think that's another piece that's helpful to build hope, is to take some time and reflect.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, again, if you are interested in finding out more about Sarah Buckley and what she does, you can check out the links in the show notes or in the comments underneath the YouTube video here. And thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for just supporting the Sounds of Encouragement podcast and YouTube channel. Be sure and hit the like button, or be sure and give us a positive review on Apple Podcasts. And just if there's something that you want to contribute, or if you want to get involved in Sounds of Encouragement, you can email me at soundofencouragement@gmail.com. And we just, if there's anything that we can do to reach out and help you feel more supported and more encouraged, just get in touch with me and we'll try to make it happen. Sarah, thank you again. I wish you the best in 2021, and we'll see you around, whether it's hopefully someday we'll get back to doing conferences live and in person. but in the meantime, we'll see you around on social media. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sounds of Encouragement is hosted, edited, and produced by Melissa Slocum. Music composed by Melissa Slocum and Steve Tressler. Music produced by Steve Tressler. For questions about the show or to get involved or be a guest, email soundofencouragement@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe and leave those positive reviews wherever you get your podcasts. Special thanks to Steve Tressler and Christina Lipriori, who encouraged me to do this. If you have found value in these episodes, please let me know through the comments, reviews, or via email. And if I can do anything to support or encourage you, please reach out and let me know. Thanks for listening.